Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. So according to the history books, the sisters were each axed. Are you willing to make the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of our Lord to bring an end to the horrors of the war? Well, the war was being waged against the Catholic people of France. You know, when we hear about French Revolution, you know, you think about the movie Les Miserables and about Bastille Day, which was just the other day, and how we ought all to be celebrating, and what a wonderful event the French Revolution was. The French Revolution was an absolute travesty. A travesty! France has never recovered from it. And what was the war waged against? Well, people say, Minichurch, please, they waged the war against the king. They fought the evil King Louis. Yeah, King Louis was evil. He was a king. They waged a war against the Catholic Church. That's what the war was waged against, which is why the laws were written to outlaw Catholicism, to outlaw religious orders, unless an oath was signed declaring that, hey, I'm no longer loyal to the church, to the Pope, to my faith. I'm now loyal, first and foremost, to France and to the Constitution Congress of France. Many religious refused to take the oath, including priests who were then found. They were called non-juring priests because they wouldn't take the juring oath. And they were in prison, brought up on hackney charges, and executed, killed. Sometimes people of faith would be dragged out of their homes, would be asked whether or not they would take the oath, or asked whether or not they were loyal to the king and their church, or to the Constitution Congress of France. If they chose the former, then they were imprisoned, and in many times they were dragged out of their prison cells, entire families, mothers and fathers, stripped naked, tied together, back to back with the children in a boat, ferried out into the middle of the Seine River, and then soldiers would shoot holes into the bottom of the boat, jump onto another boat nearby, and watch the family drown together because they were Catholics. I've shared with you the history of the French Revolution as written in the Oxford edition by William Doyle. In the Vendée alone, the genocide of the Vendée was a result. What were the Vendée? A bunch of Catholics that resisted the juring oath, the juring priest, and refused to renounce their faith. They wouldn't do it. The Vendée even said, look, all we want to do is be left alone. But Mammon being Mammon, and the true purpose of the French Revolution to exterminate Catholicism in France being what it was and what history should record it as, it doesn't always, the Vendée were then hunted down. 250, this is Doyle's estimate now, not mine, 250,000 Vendée were murdered. That's a genocide, the first. And it was perpetrated against Catholics. You see, folks, when you actually study real history, the actual facts. My adage that I give to the audience from time to time, and look, there is no looking at the history of Christian peoples without going through the Vatican. Most people think that I mean, oh, you mean I have to go look at it through the Pope? No, but it passes through the faith. Every arc of history in the Christian world since our Lord passes through the church. This one of the saga of the Carmelite nuns is no different. Listen to this. Mother Henrietta de Jesus, renowned for her great beauty and strong personality, stood up to represent the other Carmelite sisters before the Revolutionary Tribunal and was remarkable for her heroic resolution, writes Professor Plinio Correa de Oliveira. Since the prosecutor accused the Carmelites of being fanatics and counter-revolutionaries, she was asked to explain the meaning of those words. The irritated judge then vomited a torrent of offenses against her and then said, "It is your attachment to your religion and the king," close quote. Hearing these words, she replied, quote, "I thank you for the explanation." She then turned and addressed her companion Carmelites, quote, "My dear mother and my sisters, we must rejoice and give thanks to God, for we die for our religion, our faith, and for being members of the Holy Roman Catholic Church." She was the last one before the prioress to mount the scaffold to die. To the end, she encouraged her sisters to persevere. When a charitable person offered a glass of water to one of the sisters, Mother Henrietta told her, "In heaven, my sister, in heaven, we will soon have water aplenty to drink." Now, why did the Carmelites take this oath? Why did they agree to die for their faith? Why did they agree to make public their refusal to cooperate with the Constitution Congress? They did so to bring about the end of the Great Terror. A vow and a pact was made. Then look, we will offer our lives to God so that, one, the Great Terror can end, two, the church can be restored to prominence in France. One week after those nuns were marched up to the scaffold and were beheaded. Now just imagine this. You're standing there and you're watching your fellow sisters, brothers, sisters, take their habit off, laying down on this cart. The cart is then wheeled up to the guillotine. You're dragged so that your head is placed your neck is placed in the appropriate position. You're then clamped down so you can't move. A snare drum is played, a countdown is given, and then the executioner drops the blade, and off goes your head, flayed into a basket. Imagine the horror of watching this and knowing that, hey, I'm next. But being unwavering in your commitment to become a martyr to end the Great Terror. 1 week after the sacrifice of the 16 Carmelites of Compiègne, the Great Terror was ended. The public executions using the guillotine were halted. The French Revolution would never regain the horror and the terror that it had weighed upon the people of France. And a decade later, Napoleon Bonaparte himself would undo the juring laws and would restore, a decade or so later for historical accuracy, and would restore the legality of the Catholic faith and the church in France. That's the way it happened on the 17th of July, 1794. Now, I got to ask the question. Where are the martyrs, the Carmelites of today? We don't even have people that will go to bat for Teen Vogue magazine says that my 12-year-old daughter ought to be having unnatural sex with the 13-year-old across the street. Where are the people that are going to go to war to end the war on children? When they come for the children, they've come for the future. Are there any Carmelites out there? Are you even willing to be a white martyr Carmelite? Hey, put your job on the line. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Employee. Oh, I'm sorry. Gender-neutral employed thing, blob of flesh. You can't say that here in our place of business. Now, You'll put your rainbow sticker on, embrace Pride Month, and tell everyone how much you love their homosexuality, or you won't be employed anymore because you're a racist, bigoted, Casey, etc. How many people have you heard have actually refused to do that and even go metaphorical Carmelite? Think about it.